One of SA's fastest growing sales and rental companies. Sold by McGain Again. And now you can listen to Beck and Soda again on this podcast. Enjoy.
I think they're a mix of calm and crazy.
They're just fun.
They're like a married couple.
They're hilarious.
SAFM Breakfast. With Beck and Soda.
Start listening.
Welcome along to the Beck and Soda podcast. Soda, I don't know about you, but I spent my Friday night glued to the television. Taylor Swift's version of the Eras Tour came out on Disney Plus. Did you watch it on Friday night?
No.
You didn't?
No, I did other things.
Oh, my gosh. How could
I went to the concert a couple of weeks ago. Why would I want to relive and watch the whole thing again?
3.5 hours, so 3 hours of the concert, and then the last half hour is like an acoustic.
What, you sat through the whole thing again?
I sat with a bottle of bubbles. I couldn't get my children to join me. They were coming in and out. At the end, I had our Japanese exchange student with me. She was sitting down on the carpet, and Karma, which you remember as the finale, came on.
That's right.
And I wrapped this poor child in my care, and I said, "Dance with me." And I made her dance with me.
Was she comfortable with it?
Yeah. Look, I don't know. She looked like she was having fun.
This is, of course, the same girl that had been outsourced for a number of weekends to another family. So she has a weekend back with you, and by the Friday night she's ready to go again.
Yeah, look, she might need a safe word.
I think it's Akari's her name, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Akari, blink twice if you'd like to go back home.
Kame is my boyfriend.
Let's get into this podcast. Beck and Soda on SAFM.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Fantastic weekend.
Weather.
Bit of footy back. Did you head along for Port Adelaide yesterday?
I was so excited to get the scarf up for Never Tear Us Apart for another season and get a W on the board.
How'd the game go, right?
Yeah, look, I thought we started a bit rusty, to be honest, from my humble experience, having never played a game of AFL before.
You've watched enough, though. You go every week to watch Port Adelaide.
Guy behind me knew, though. Oh, my God, you know when you get an expert behind you?
Yeah.
He coached from the stands the whole game. Oh, that's stop-start footy. Oh, come on, it's not flowing. Oh, my God, the whole game.
Did the boys pay attention to him?
Yeah.
I don't think they could hear him from up in the western stand, level three.
How'd you go with him? You have anything to say?
I almost turned around. I've had words with our fans before when they turn on the boys.
What, you'll stand up for them?
Yeah, I did have a little a few words.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the terrible prelims we lost, and these guys were like walking out and they were bagging the boys, and I said, "Yeah, well, you didn't get behind them all game." And it wasn't good when the fans
did they come back at you?
No, they just glared at me and kept walking. So I can get a bit lippy.
Well, losing prelims over and over and over again will get you if you're a supporter.
It does get you. But you got to stay behind the boys. You can't turn on them.
Right.
Yeah.
Go down the rooms afterwards.
No, I don't. No. I don't go.
Don't hang around. No, yeah, you're an ambassador for the Port Adelaide Footy Club.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel a bit creepy in the rooms. I don't know. Up against that netting while the boys are doing the Gatorade. I don't know. Haven't done it for a couple
Never
of years.
Never been down there?
A few years ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
You used to go down the rooms afterwards.
So my husband used to work for Port Adelaide.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So then but now I don't. Now I feel like, no, I don't.
So you know there's a picture of you on the door.
Yeah, exactly. Don't let this woman
I know the doorman down there.
She salivates too heavily. Yeah. We can't let her in. Weird. Don't let her near Bogey.
Inappropriate.
The rules. Anyway, good to have a W on the board. And the Crows.
Yeah, Crows. No, they were pretty ordinary. Came home late against Gold Coast, but not a good start to the year for them. So a bit of bad luck. But then
that's the best start to a Monday.
Poor winner Crows lost. Wow.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Do you like dressing up? Do you like dress-up party, Soda?
I don't think I've been to a dress-up party for years. I don't think we've dressed up since probably Mad Monday after footy years ago.
Ah, and what was your Mad Monday go-to?
A bit of everything, depending on the theme. I think one year we went into the op shop and the entire team had to come out kitted as a full op shop outfit. We had people in dresses and not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
People dressed in old bowling gear, a bit of everything.
And a superhero as
superhero,
well.
Superhero, sometimes we use those themes. This was years and years ago. This was before Mad Monday was even in vogue.
Yeah, well, we had a Las Vegas themed dress-up party on Saturday night for a friend's birthday. I don't tend to like dress-up parties because it's like, oh, do you go to a big effort? And then if you make a small effort, you look pathetic. But when everybody gets on board, it's really fun. So
the whole lot were dressed up?
Everyone got – I think Las Vegas is a good theme because we had a couple of Adeles. We had a Taylor Swift. We had a couple of Travis Kelce's because of Viva Las Vegas. And, of course, there's the Hangover movie. So we had a couple of people with babies in carriers.
Yeah, and the big beard.
And face tats and all that
Zach
kind of thing.
Galifianakis.
So we went pretty basic. I went as a showgirl because I also still like to look good at a dress-up party. I mean, I'm not going to go as, you know, Shrek or anything like that, you know. So, and I was very basic. I went to a dress-up shop on Friday, last minute, got my husband an Elvis costume.
Oh, nice.
I said, make it, can you give me the biggest suit you've got? Because I didn't want one of those onesies being a bit too tight. I didn't want him
but
to
you weren't wearing it. Yeah. Big Jim would have been...
he doesn't care.
Would have been Big Jim and the Twins.
Yeah. I didn't want people to have to see Big Jim and the Twins on a Saturday night. I didn't want a moose knuckle.
Right. We get it.
For you Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So it fitted. But in true James style, we had friends picking us up via an Uber. They sent us a text, said the Uber's on the way, and he still hadn't got dressed. I'm like, quick, put on your onesie, doll. Anyway, the zip basically went down to his belly button.
It was the Elvis one.
Deep V. Yeah.
So it's meant to show the chest. That's what Elvis used to do, didn't he? Get it all out?
Yeah. Well, my husband, bless him, is over 50 now, and the chest hair is, well, it's grey. It's white. Yeah, right. It's like a white rug.
Is he pretty hairy down there in the chest?
Down there.
Like on his chest and so forth.
For a while. It's like a shag pile rug.
Oh, right.
And he put it on and there was a gold chain and I was like, no one needs to see that, doll. So I made him wear a t-shirt.
What?
That's not Elvis.
That's like that.
Not Elvis.
So Elvis with a white t-shirt.
He's wearing a white t-shirt under his jumpsuit.
Under his jumpsuit. It was better for everyone.
Big Jim
and the twins and the hairy Jess were not going to make it out on a Saturday night. So I covered him up and it was a good night.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Beck Guy, Sebastian, one of our favourites here, SA boy made good, lives over in New South Wales
now. We won't hold that against him.
But he still calls Adelaide home and he probably still hangs around Tea Tree Gully Shopping Centre when he does get his chance to get back. He's got this new song with Sam Fisher.
Oh, you have to sway back and forth when you listen to it. Guy, Sebastian's on the line. Guy, what a power ballad. We love it.
It is, isn't it? It's a big tune. We worked hard on that one. We wrote it. I think it took me about 9 months. Sam came over to the house. I'd always wanted to meet him. And I heard his song, This City, years ago. And I was a fan straight away. And then I realised he was an Aussie. And so, he came over to the house. We wrote that song. And it's one of my favourite songs. I've never worked so hard on a song. And it's come out good.
I was just giving your account a little stalk and you've got all these posts about your beautiful song and a couple of comments going, oh, but I hate the beard.
I know. Look, you're never going to please anyone, especially the facial hair department, but I had to grow it. I did my first movie role recently. And it's actually a Bollywood movie. And I started out just writing music for it. I am the vocalist for the main character, who's this 17-year-old kid, Kabir. And I got involved with the directors on the music front. But then they were like, oh, Guy, we saw your last film clip and we want you to actually try out for this role playing his dad. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So I ended up doing this role. And it's quite a big role in the film, but I'm playing a dad of a 17-year-old and clean-shaven guy. I don't know if I looked old enough. And so I just grew this big bushy beard and we grayed it up a little bit and I ended up looking a bit more like his dad.
But he's actually miming to your voice.
Yeah, I'm his singing voice and playing his dad. So it was quite a complex role. And I really respect the art of acting, but I've never appreciated it so much as actually doing it. And, you know, when you see these blow-ups, like online, like you see Christian Bale or these people having these massive blow-ups, I get it. Because these guys take their art very seriously. And, like, I had to speak in an accent as well. So my accent, I had to speak like this. With kind of a soft accent so that it made a lot of sense for the role. You know, my son is Indian. He has an accent himself. So it would have been weird if I'm in this Ocker accent.
G'day, mate.
Yeah, so my first acting role, I'm doing an accent. I'm an alcoholic, complex father.
Yeah, right.
And in between takes, the owners of the restaurant that were filming in are getting photos, and I'm chatting back to being Guy and in my normal accent. And then someone from the Indian consulate wants a photo with me holding his mug or something. And then someone might ask me about the Memphis album. So I kept flicking in between like, oh, yeah, and no, I was awesome. I had Steve Cropper on guitar and blah, blah, blah. And then back into this guy, James, who is his father. And I've got this whole story so that it felt real about his life. It was doing my head in. I ended up just saying to directors, I was like, guys, like, seriously, I'm only doing this for love. Like, and I'm trying to do the best job. Can you just let me be James for a while? And they got it. They were really good. And they were even calling me James on set so that I could just stay in character. But it was a hard role to nail, but had a lot of fun doing it.
Mate, that sounds fantastic. As James the dad, because I know you love your cricket too, and they love cricket in India, you should have got the little kid playing cricket as well as singing and making him a double threat.
Seriously. Well, you know what's funny? Steve Smith's a good mate of mine, and I was trying to get him a little cameo in the movie.
Oh, right. This,
but he was actually playing cricket. So.
Mate, that would have been perfect. You're now scouting to get Aussie cricketers into Bollywood movies. It's brilliant.
Mate, they are massive. I've got a few mates who are cricketers. They just tell me about India. It's like they're Taylor Swift over there. They cannot go anywhere. Like, there's crowds outside their hotel rooms.
Really?
They're just superstars over there. Yes, I've got this mate, Andre Adams, his name is, and he played for New Zealand years ago, and he lives in Australia. He'll go into like a fish and chip shop. You know, there'll be someone behind the counter who's Indian. He'll walk in and they'll go, oh my God, Andre Adams, Andre Adams. Like they know cricketers from like 20 years ago that played 12 games.
So good. Oh, well, Guy Sebastian, great wide-ranging chat there from The Single Antidote to your Bollywood career. It's always great to chat.
Very random. It's always random.
Always random. Thank you, Guy.
Thanks, guys.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Big, big day in Tassie. I think later this afternoon, around about 5 o'clock, 5:30, they are launching the Tasmanian Football Club, which they expect will be in the AFL in, I think, 28. So what's that, 4 years away?
Yeah, new team. And speculation it will be called?
The Tassie Devils.
The Devils, okay.
Which I think there's been some issues with Warner Brothers.
Mm. Yes.
Get permission to use that. But you would think the tip is the green jumper with a big yellow map on the front, and pretty traditional for Tasmania state teams. Yeah. But it's pretty amazing situation, Beck, because the state election is this week. And there's a lot of conjecture because the AFL have said, we will give you a license for the team.
Yep. Yeah.
You've got to build a new stadium.
Yeah, so they don't like their existing stadiums.
Well, they've got one in Launceston, which is about 9,500. There's Blundstone Arena, which is Bellarine, that's 20,000. But they say they want a new one.
Okay.
Right? Jackie Lambie, of course, outspoken MP, she's got her thoughts.
It's as simple as this. Tasmanians have had a bloody gutful over your stadium. And you can stick it up their bum.
So what do you think her opinion is?
Well, we've got a fair idea, but not only that, she's got plenty of supporters that have jumped on board too.
Stick your stadium up your bum.
That is legitimately the closest.
Stick it up your bum.
That's exactly where she would like to put the stadium, but they do have another location. It's the Macquarie Point where they would like to build it. So we've got an issue here because the Liberal Party are in at the moment. They're saying, if you elect us on Saturday, we'll build the stadium. The ALP are saying, we won't build the stadium because we need to know that it's going to be sustainable, this team.
Well, and obviously,
so there's a bit going on.
They're arguing that if you're going to spend money in Tasmania, that, you know, jobs, education, not sport is the argument there. But I also love, can we just listen to them singing again?
It's good.
They sound really lovely.
Stick your stadium up your bum.
They've actually got lovely voices.
Not bad.
They sound like they're carolers.
I mean, 13, 10, 60, what did you have up your bum?
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Stick it up your bum.
Clearly not a stadium.
No, it's AFM
That's
Breakfast.
Goalposts.
Beck and Soda.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
I'm just talking to Penny, who is about to celebrate her 25th wedding anniversary.
Yes.
Congratulations. Oprah has been with her partner. They decided not to get married, Stedman Graham, for 30 years, more than three decades. And
beautiful.
She has revealed that they keep, or he keeps, an entire octopus, head, tentacles, the whole shebang, inside their fridge.
Hold up, wait a minute.
No, hang on. It's not as a pet.
No.
What, to eat?
To eat. He's
yeah.
a big fan of octopus calamari.
Stedman.
Old Stedman hacks away at that octopus every morning for breakfast.
Really? It is got very, very high in B12. It's a bit of a superfood octopus, isn't it? It's meant to be pretty good.
But why wouldn't you just buy your frozen calamari rings from your local fish and chip shop instead of just like munching down on the tentacle every morning?
Yeah, but Oprah's worth a bill or more, isn't she? So, I mean, if Stedman needs to just drop that off. Do you like octopus? You wouldn't know. You're a vegetarian.
No, I don't eat seafood.
Not at all. Octopus is delightful.
Do you know what? I remember eating octopus as a child and a bit of the tentacle, half of it went down my throat and I nearly choked on it. Oh, no. Never recovered. Oh.
The little mini octopus are great. Or octopi, are they? The, you know, you get in the salads.
We can see that. No, I don't like a tentacle in my mouth.
Speaking of seafood and that sort of thing, on the weekend, because I had the motorsport festival here at Victoria Park, and our friends, Zagamis, of course, that do our deluxe drop-off on Fridays with kids, they had this beautiful, beautiful setup there. And, you know, Valtteri Bottas, the F1 driver, and Gunther Steiner, who was the F1 manager from Drive to Survive, they're all around, right?
Don't know either of those people.
No, you wouldn't. But many people that are fans of Drive to Survive would have seen them. Anyway, we went in there, and I had Felix with me, right? 11-year-old Felix. And then they said, oh, why don't you come over here? There's some oysters and all that. Anyway, and in something completely unrelatable, they pulled out a tin of caviar.
Oh, caviar at the must have been right.
Now, I've never eaten caviar in my life. I mean, where am I going to go to eat caviar? Anyway, what they were doing was scooping it up and putting a little bump of caviar on your fist.
If you don't put that on Instagram, you haven't eaten caviar.
You lick it off, right? Yeah, right. Anyway, so they said to Felix, do you want to try some caviar? This little tin, they said, was
$10,000. Oh, they're selling a few cars as a gummy.
Worth of caviar. Oh, my, they've got the best cars in town.
Absolutely.
Very, very nice. Not as drivable as the D-Max Ute, but obviously the high-end ones. Mm. Anyway, $10,000 tin. And then people are lining up and they're putting it on there and licking it off. Anyway, Felix said, oh, I'm going to have some. And he looked at the bloke, he goes, oh, mate, that tastes like Vegemite.
Oh, what a waste. You can't it tastes like kid Vegemite. Well,
it was about $100 worth that they're putting on each people's hand.
That's obscene.
Have you tasted caviar?
No.
It didn't. I tasted and just went, well, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, don't worry about the cozy lives. Just have your caviar.
That's
for
unbelievable,
breakfast.
Though. So I can understand, well, Oprah with plenty
with
of coin.
The octopus.
Going the whole octopus. But he eats it for breakfast.
For breakfast, and he has it with okra, you know, that green vegetable. So he obviously likes things starting with O. Octopus, okra. I mean, he's not preparing
it. And Oprah.
And Oprah. Yeah. They've got a personal chef. Anyway.
What do you have for breakfast?
I don't eat breakfast Monday to Friday. On weekends, yesterday I had pasta for breakfast.
Really?
I reheated the dinner from the night before because I couldn't be bothered making breakfast, so I had pasta.
Yeah, right. Right.
13 10 60, let's get our weird breakfast habits out. What do you have for breakfast?
Right, so Stedman's on the octopus.
Yeah.
Have you got something a little left of centre? We're not talking your Wheat Bix or your Vegemite toast.
So does kids eating caviar for breakfast?
Well, he didn't really eat caviar for breakfast.
Is he taking it in his school lunchbox now? Daddy, could you pack me some caviar, please?
Mate,
Daddy.
I'm a bogan, so I'm on here. There's no chance.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
You and the kids have had a trial dog, little Mavis the Cavoodle, to see if you're ready to embrace a dog in your life. How is she?
Yeah, no, look, she's going very, very well. We've had her for more than a week, right? We meant to have her for a couple of days. Kids loved her. Awesome. You know, they were essentially almost pulling her apart, trying to share her amongst themselves, getting her to sleep on each of their beds, taking her for walks, all those sorts of things. So going pretty well. We kept her for more than 3 days. We kept her for a week.
Beautiful.
Until yesterday. I think the dog honeymoon is over.
Oh, no. What's happened
I've
to
walked
me?
Into my bedroom. And I've had a look there. Now, you know, under like your beds, they sometimes have like that sort of woven plastic, like an IKEA bag.
Oh, this is your ensemble?
Yep, stapled underneath, you know, because normally hollow. I've walked in there and gone, what the hell's going on here? Mavis has got under the bed and just torn that to shreds, right? And it's all over the bedroom
floor. I'm sorry to laugh, but this is great.
Oh, mate. And then Felix goes, Dad. I went, what? And he goes, come in my room. And he goes, I found Mavis. She's stuck under the bed. Oh, under his bed, the ensemble is like some material, you know, that's been stapled. She's ripped that to shreds, right? Mavis. And then when she's ripped it to shreds, she's been able to go up under the bed into that hollow area. And she was stuck in there barking. And I've sat and she's ripped it apart. And I've just looked and gone, right, what are we going to do here? And so the owner, our friend, I rang and said, look, I think Mavis is homesick. She's starting to destroy stuff.
Pick up your mutt now.
I'll drop her around in five. And so Mavis had to go back yesterday and she's reunited with her original family. So I said, all right, well, let's give her a couple of days back with you and then we'll get her back in a few more days.
Right, so she's coming back.
She's going to come back, okay. But I think
she's
the shared the shared care arrangement, the reunification program with Mavis and her original owners is just taking place at the moment.
Okay.
So just calm her down a bit. Once we've got her sorted, she can come back into the house.
Did you feed her?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bit of kibble, bit of bed.
Yeah, I fed her. We were feeding her just the dry food with a few other little things, pumping a bit of Vegemite toast into her, and then she stopped eating that. But you said the salt content's high in that, isn't it?
The salt.
Is it a low salt Vegemite option?
No, it would taste rubbish.
She likes eating bed.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
In life, there are unanswerable questions. These are not those, but damn it, they're close. My head hurts, so it must be time for the Riddle Man.
Righto, Beck, Riddle Man, 131060, give us a buzz. Pretty simple. I've just got a bit of a little question for you. Get it right, you can go off to the movies. We'll give you the tickets and $100 for dinner. Beck, this is the easiest one I've ever done.
Don't say that because then it makes me feel like a fool when I can't get it.
The first person through is going to win this, okay? I guarantee you.
I've got my pen and paper.
This is by far the simplest one we've ever done. Okay, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Right. So Bruce wins the race, right? But they give the trophy and the $10,000 winner's purse to Jenny. Why? Right? So Bruce wins a race, but they actually give the trophy and the winner's check to Jenny. Why? Pretty simple, hey?
No.
You got it? It's very, very easy. Absolutely.
Was Jenny in the race?
Right? So Bruce wins the race, but they go, right, come over here, Jenny. This is the trophy and this is the prize. The money.
How's that simple? It doesn't make any sense.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Narissa from Blakeview. Narissa, what happened here?
I'm thinking Bruce cheated.
Ooh. Good thinking, but no, Bruce didn't cheat. Okay. Bruce did win the race, but thanks so much for your guess. Okay. Scott from Wild Horse Plains. Morning, Scotty.
There you go, mate.
Good, buddy. Good. Right. Bruce wins the race, but then the organisers turned over and said, here's Jenny, here's the trophy, and here's the winner's check. Why didn't Bruce get it?
Because they're both the same person.
No, they're not, but I like thinking.
Yeah, something
because it's not
like
Bruce
that.
Jenner. Right. Good thinking, but no. Okay, Alana from Newton. Alana, Bruce wins the race, but they give the trophy and the winner's check to Jenny. Why?
Because he's good sportsman. Oh, Bruce's wife, maybe?
No, it's not Bruce's wife, but Alana, I love your thinking as well. Beck, how are you going there? Any good?
Was he not supposed to be running in that race because it was, like, not his category?
No, Bruce actually won legitimately, right? But then they gave to Jenny. Righto, where are we going?
Cherie.
We're going to Cherie at Lobethal. Cherie, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Cherie, here we go. Bruce wins the race, but they said, hang on, come over here, Jenny. Here's the trophy and here's the check. Why didn't Bruce get it?
Because Jenny is his trophy wife.
I
that's
love that.
Good. Maybe she's a trophy trad wife.
I love that. Good on you, Shreve. That's not correct. Tina from Trot Park. Tina, what happened? Bruce won, but they gave Jenny the trophy and the winner's check.
Oh, gosh. Oh, because, you know, he missed the start, perhaps.
Oh, you reckon he cheated?
Or was it a handicap?
Yeah, he missed the start.
All right, here we go. Geez, Beck, come on.
You can't say this is the easiest
one we've ever done.
Got them right before, and I can't.
Madeline from Onkaparinga Hills, Onkaparinga Heights, rather. Madeline, is this easy?
Yep.
All right, so tell us. So Bruce won the race, but they said, Jenny, come over here. You can collect the winner's check and the trophy. Why is that?
Because Bruce is a horse.
Bruce is a horse and Jenny's the owner.
Oh!
Yeah, that's good.
Giddy up.
Madeline.
Yeah, nice.
I get it.
That was easy, Madeline, wasn't it?
Easy as,
mate. Yeah. Hey, you're going off to the movies, so I've got $100 for you to go and have dinner on your way as well.
Thank you.
There you
brilliant.
Go. Well done.
Good on you,
Bruce. That's Mr. Ed, I would have known, on Maccabi Diva. Who calls a horse Bruce?
One of SA's fastest growing sales and rental companies. Sold by McGain. And now you can listen to Beck and Soda again on this podcast. SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Number one for fun.
SAFM.